Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Evan Roberts. Tiki Barber. It's Evan and Tiki on WFAN, The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Hey, how we doing on a Monday? Another brand new week. Evan and Tiki on The Fan for the next 4.5 hours. We got a lot to cover. The New York Jets make you hate football. More on that shortly. Joe Beningo will join us at about 4:30 today. A lot to get to, but I got to tell you, and I know this is not a popular opinion, but I always feel this way when something inevitable happens. It's like you have a girlfriend, and you know it's over. You know you got to dump her. You know, it's just, it didn't work out, and you've been thinking about it for weeks and weeks and weeks. And then when you finally do it, you know it's the right thing to do, but you're going to miss those fun times. You're going to miss the potential that you had. And when the New York Giants made it official about 2 hours ago that they're dumping Daniel Jones's ass, there was something kind of sad about it. This guy's been in our lives for 6 years. There were moments in which the night outs were great. Like, they were crazy.
Right, two years ago?
Oh, my God. Remember that crazy night in Minnesota? We were hanging by the chandeliers. And you thought, I'm going to marry this one. Like, this is going to be the one I'll be with for the rest of my life. And then, yeah, there's a lot of bad crap that happens, and so you know it's the right thing. So when Brian Daboll came in front of a microphone a few hours ago, and he made it official that they were dumping Daniel Jones and promoting Tommy DeVito, I don't know if you felt this way, Teak, but there was a little bit of sadness.
Yeah, I mean,
a little bit.
Just it's sad that it didn't work out, because all of the benefits of the doubt that he was given. Tommy, are you happy back there? You finally got your wish. But I think we knew that something like this, without success this season, was inevitable. You mentioned it. You said it. It's the perfect word. If the Giants were going to keep losing one possession games, if Daniel Jones was going to look gun-shy at moments, if he was not going to be able to make plays in the moments, eventually this was going to happen. And unfortunately, it did. Like, there's a lot of one-score games that they didn't win.
Mm.
And if they had, we wouldn't even be having this conversation. We'd be talking about, oh, they can get to the playoffs and do something special when you get there in the second season. But that's not, it never felt like a reality. It felt like, as you said, an inevitability. At some point, you were going to have to move on from Daniel Jones. You just didn't know how it was going to happen.
There's a thing, and I've noticed this because it happened with Robert Saleh a few weeks ago, where we get excited when somebody we get sick of is fired or benched. Like, we're like, oh, thank God, no more Daniel Jones. Or thank God, Robert Saleh's not coaching the team. And forget about them as humans, because that's a separate thing, and both those guys will be fine. As a sports fan, I'm sad, because when they drafted Daniel Jones, you had hope. When you won a playoff game in Minnesota, you had hope. With Robert Saleh, just to bring him into the conversation, when he got fired a few weeks ago, there was a sadness because when they hired him, I thought he was the guy.
Yeah,
I was like, oh, wow, we're going to find our forever head coach. So whenever these things happen, which inevitably happens a lot here in New York sports, there's this emotional reaction to celebrate. I don't think it's a day of celebration. I think it's a day of sadness. This didn't work. And yeah, it took a long time to get to this moment, but It sucks. It means the New York Giants are going through the same thing the Jets go through on cycle every 3 or 4 years, which is we're trying to find our answer. Now, Tommy DeVito is the best person for now because he's young enough where it's, hey, let's see if he could possibly be the answer. But the odds are he's not the answer.
Right.
And the odds are Tommy DeVito's the fun guy we're hanging out with for a few weeks.
Yeah.
But you're going to go back on that search to find your forever quarterback. And those searches, bro, they're not fun.
Well, and they take a long time, especially when the last few draft classes have maybe two good quarterbacks in them. And so you look at the upcoming draft class and it's like, all right, who is it? Cam Ward, Shedeur Sanders. After that, you don't really trust any of those guys to be your franchise guy, which just goes to show you, when you make that decision, as the Giants did, Dave Gettleman, 6 years ago, to draft Daniel Jones, if you miss, it sets you back a decade. Right? If you don't get that pick right and you invest all of the resources in the short term, and then ultimately, in this analogy that Evan was giving, they didn't just date Daniel Jones, they married him.
Yeah.
Right? They gave him a 4-year contract. They married Daniel Jones. When you miss on that, it's hard to recover. You have to end up tearing everything down again and then trying to build it back up with some semblance of again, hope, the words you use. And it doesn't feel that way. Now, Tommy DeVito, I'm happy for the kid. I think he's got an energy about him. I think he's, as Dave said, probably the most important thing he said in this press conference that was earlier today, he's got a quick release, meaning he'll get rid of the ball, something Daniel Jones struggled with for a lot of this season. But he also brings you an unknown. Like, you don't know.
Right.
We know what Daniel Jones is right now. I think we know intuitively who Drew Lock is, even though he's never played for any of our teams. I know a lot of people want to question, well, why is Drew Lock the backup and not Tommy DeVito? And why wasn't Tommy DeVito the backup for most of the season? If once Daniel Jones gets benched, you're just going to put Tommy DeVito in there. The answer is simple. If Tommy DeVito was the backup and Drew Lock wasn't here, about week 4, we would have been saying, put the backup in.
Oh, that's why you think they did it?
100%.
Interesting.
Because Tommy DeVito has a following for what? I mean, it happened in like the first home game, right? Weren't they chanting for Tommy DeVito?
Right. Yeah, they definitely were in the Viking game and in the Eagle game.
Right.
And you're saying it would have been worse if he was the backup.
If he was the actual backup,
yeah,
then that would have happened after every one of those. Look, the Giants haven't won at home.
Right.
They're 0-5 at home. The Giants also have not won a division game. They're 0-4 in the division. And so, like, the calls for this would have happened a lot sooner in the season, and it probably would have gotten ugly.
Your reasoning makes a lot of sense, but that's not a good reason if that's why they signed Drew Lock.
Right.
If they signed Drew Lock because they didn't want crowds chanting.
Right. They wanted a buffer.
Right. That's not a good reason.
I don't think it is, but I mean, ultimately, that's what it came down to.
So to me, and I'm not a Drew Lock guy, and I didn't want them to sign Drew Lock. I wanted them during the offseason to bring in someone to compete with Daniel Jones. And I know you hate when I bring it up, but the guy I brought up was Justin Fields.
Of course.
It didn't work out, whatever. Right. That was what I envisioned. I envisioned, hey, have someone like young and legitimate enough to compete with DJ for the job. We'll see what happens.
Right.
Once they don't do that,
yeah,
I thought, okay, fine, bring in a backup. If Daniel gets hurt, which I thought he would, he did not, credit to him, that guy probably gives you a better chance to win than Tommy DeVito. Tommy played well last year. It's a small sample size. He wasn't great in college. I don't know. If I'm legitimate, I'm trying to win in this league,
right,
I'd rather have a more veteran backup quarterback. So they do that with Drew Lock.
Daniel, they didn't really because he wasn't competing. And then he got hurt.
But forget competing. Like, now I moved away from competing to just get yourself a legitimate veteran backup quarterback.
Right.
They never made the pull because they still always felt DJ gave him the best chance to win, and he never got hurt.
Yeah.
So now the reason you flip Lock with DeVito, in my estimation, in my opinion, is because you know the season's over.
Right.
You're no longer going to the veteran who gives you a good chance to win. You're going to the project to see what you got. Now, Brian Daboll was asked this a lot. We'll play the audio in a few minutes. Hey, how did this guy go from 3-1? About the backup. That's the answer, but he can't give that answer because that answer includes saying the season is over.
Agreed.
He can't say it. He's not going to say it. I'll say it. You can say it. We'll all say it. The Giants season is over. They're done.
As it pertains to the playoffs?
Yes.
You're right. But there's still a lot for...
This holiday, BMW has reunited 3 members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure.
the plug-in hybrid X5 commanding the streets with unmatched presence, and the all-electric i4 charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Some of these guys to play for.
Sure. For the individual, absolutely. Maybe for the season ticket holder, absolutely. That's fine. But in terms of the season and winning, it's over. So when you're at that point in the year, what would you rather do? Would you rather play the veteran, quote unquote, who gives you the best chance to win, or the younger, more raw player who very well may answer a question for you for the future?
Right.
You go to the young player.
I didn't think that's exactly why this decision was made. And, you know, I feel for Daniel Jones in a way, because all of the coordinators and head coaches and all the turmoil that he went through, the ACL injury, the constant pressure because there was no solid offensive line. I almost feel bad for him. But at the end of the day, the NFL is a bottom-line business. And if you can't manufacture despite the failings of everybody around you, then ultimately it's going to be on you. And by the way, some of those failings were on Daniel Jones himself. And so I feel bad for him, but Daniel Jones is going to be all right. I don't know what he's going to go do post his NFL Giant career, but he has a career in the NFL. Maybe not as a starter, but he'll be around somebody somewhere for a while because he's smart, he's big, he's strong, he'd be a good backup quarterback, maybe even compete for a starting job somewhere else where the situation is better. But the New York Giants can't afford to sit around and just say, what if? Well, maybe. They can't do the maybe anymore. And so as much as this is about Tommy DeVito becoming the new starter for the New York Giants for the remaining 7 weeks of the season, who cares about that? That's not what's important. What's important is how does this franchise get itself back to winning? How does it get itself back to the expectation that every time you take the field, you're going to do something and not just hold your breath hoping that something's going to happen?
Well, but here's the juxtaposition the Giants are now in, and I'm talking about the fans. Brian Daboll probably needs to win some games because he wants to ensure he comes back for another year.
Right.
There's no guarantee that he's surviving a 2-15 season, despite what John Mara said a few weeks ago. But really, it's the juxtaposition of you guys, Sean and Lugie back there, because they're both excited for Tommy DeVito. Tommy Lugauer, first of all, let's give him the love. Right. He wanted Tommy DeVito in August. So, Lugie, congratulations.
Thank you. Normally, I don't like any Christmas stuff before Thanksgiving, but today is my Christmas. Tommy DeVito is here, and I believe Tommy DeVito could be the Giants' starting quarterback for the next 10 years.
Very good. I'm glad you had
that. And I'm glad we're getting that opportunity.
By the way, does this officially mean that you can now stop being positive Tommy for the Jets? Because it's done.
Well, I think him not being positive Tommy has something to do with the Jets, by the way.
Right. Now you can come back to where you belong, Tommy. I will open you with open arms. As long as you renounce your Jet positive Tommy-ness, I will welcome you back. Because you got what you wanted.
I did.
You preached this at the beginning of the season. Nobody wanted to listen to you. We laughed at you.
We did.
We scoffed at the implication that would happen.
People wanted me fired. Well, that was Sean.
I mean, Sean wanted you fired because Sean didn't want you to be right. But guess what? You're right. We'll welcome you back. Do you renounce the Jets? Positive Tommy of the Jets. Do you renounce the Jets?
You know what, Tommy? I'll make this easy for you. I'll make this very easy for you. As a Jet fan, as someone that recruited your positivity to Jet World to try to save our season, I'm doing this for you, and I'm doing this for Tiki. You're fired!
All right.
Nice. Welcome back, Tommy.
Positive Tommy has been signed by the Giants.
Welcome back,
with Tommy DeVito as his quarterback.
We don't need your stink with us anymore. The team sucks. The franchise is a disaster. We tried Positive Tommy. Even that didn't work. So go back to the Giants. But you got what you wanted. Even Sean. Sean's a confused Giant fan because he wanted Daniel Jones, and he didn't, and he did. All I know is that today, Sean Morash is wearing his Tommy Cutlett sweatshirt.
Right. That's right. What do you actually want, Sean?
Truthfully?
Yes. Short and long term.
Short term, I want Tommy DeVito to make the Giants fun, but they lose every single game by a field goal.
See, that's the thing I was going to bring up. Like, Tommy DeVito's your quarterback and you want to evaluate him, but if you also thinking he's not our future, you're better off losing games to continue the tank.
I want to make this clear. If positive Tommy's right and DeVito takes off and they win out and we find out, damn, they have some, fine. I'll take Tommy DeVito as the future quarterback, but all I know is I want a future quarterback, and what I don't want is what happened last year, where now the Giants don't have Jaden Daniels or Drake May. So, look, I'm going to sit down on Sunday. Am I going to root for the Giants to win a football game? Of course I am, because I'm a fan. But I know, ultimately, in the back of my brain, what happened last year can't happen this year. And as Tiki said, if there's really only two guys, it makes it harder to get to the top. Get to the top.
So what you want, basically, is you want to borrow the Jets' garbage fourth-quarter defense so that Tommy DeVito can, he can get you in the end zone a couple of times, maybe give you a late lead, and then have a garbage, overrated defense allow an opponent to go, I don't know, 70 yards in 2 minutes so that you can lose, but really pin the loss on your overrated crap defense. Is that fair to say?
That's fair to say, preferably not with Deontay Banks continuing to deteriorate.
Right. By the way, he was talking about the Jets when he was talking about overrated crap defense.
Yeah,
he's not talking about the Giants right now.
So
he's
maybe,
talking about what happened last night.
I was saying, do you want to borrow? Do you want to borrow our overrated garbage defense?
Do I want Cordell Flott just pointing into space and having somebody blow past him lose game? Sure, I'll take it, as long as DeVito gets in the end zone.
But that's the weird thing I think Giant fans now have. You got your guy, because I think most Giant fans over the last few weeks was ready for this change and ready to see Tommy DeVito.
Yes.
Okay, so we have Tommy DeVito, but then simultaneously, most of you still want to lose games so you get the other quarterback next year.
I think Sean said it perfectly. You wanted to see Tommy DeVito, but more importantly, you want a quarterback. You want someone who you can like rally around and say, this is our guy. This is the guy who's going to help us win consistently for this year and next year and 5 years from now. Like the Lamar Jacksons of the world, even though he's been bad the last couple of weeks, but Josh Allen's of the world.
Right,
like you want that player, the Joe Burrows of the world, Justin Herbert. You want that guy.
Tiki.
I don't care where he comes from or what he looks like. Hell, the Detroit Lions, it was not Jared Goff. When Dan Campbell took that job, Jared Goff was not the guy that was leading them to the promised land.
Right.
But you know what? In a very convoluted way, they found their guy. It wasn't traditional. They didn't draft him. They didn't go, oh, I should sent my great scouts on the road. And look, they identified this guy, and we traded up, and we got him. And look at us. We're in the Super Bowl, or at least one of the favorites. Now the favorite to win the Super Bowl, the Detroit Lions are. It happened unconventionally. So, hell, if it happens with Tommy DeVito, God bless. If it happens because they stink and they got to go to draft one, God bless. But they just got to find that guy. We can't be set back for the years that we've been set back because we haven't found that guy at the most important position on a football team.
Yesterday was depressing for a couple reasons, because after the Jets' disastrous of a loss, we got blessed with Chiefs-Bills into what ended up being an epic Sunday night if you stayed up and watched Burrow versus Herbert. Mm-hmm. And it really dawned on me as I'm sitting there, this is what I want.
Right.
It doesn't have to be Patrick Mahomes.
No.
It doesn't even have to be Joe Burrow. But I want to wake up on a Sunday again where the pregame shows are funneling and somebody's at MetLife Stadium and the Giants are in a big late window game that matters every other week, something like that, like these teams are. And you don't get there without having a freaking franchise quarterback.
Can that guy be Tommy DeVito?
Tommy!
We'll get your calls coming up, 888-808-1019. We'll also listen to some of what Brian Daboll had to say in his announcement that Tommy DeVito's going to be the quarterback, including trying to answer the question of how he went from the third-string guy to the number one guy, and also what Brian Daboll says to the tankists of the world. And don't worry, Jet fans, we'll all let loose on what was another rock-bottom moment in New York Jet history yesterday afternoon at MetLife Stadium. So earlier today it was official. The Daniel Jones era is over, and Tommy Jefferson Marash Lou Gower DeVito is the new starting quarterback of the New York football.
I don't shine shoes anymore.
Now, we'll give you a quick thumbnail on what Brian Daboll had to say. Pulled a couple of clips from his press conference earlier today, including the question of how Tommy DeVito, who's been the third string quarterback all year, somehow went from being the third guy to now being the starter. So, Coach, how did Daddy go from being the third guy to the top guy?
So usually the backup gets the call and not the number three guy. Why, you know, flipping over him to go to Tommy?
Yeah, I understand the question. Again, I got a lot of confidence in Drew, the way he's handled himself since he's been here. And he handled this well, too, being a professional. Again, Tommy, we've been with Tommy here for a little bit. He's done a nice job, I would say, throughout practices here, but also we have something to lean on by going back and watching him operate some of our stuff from last year. This is no indication on Drew whatsoever. He's been excellent for us. It was more about what I felt Tommy gave us.
Yeah, that's called, I'm not going to answer that question. I'm not going to tell you the reality, which is we're dead. We're 2-8. I want to see what the youngin has. I already know Drew Locke is mediocre. And that's where I got to give Brian Daboll credit, for those that have turned on him, for those that don't love him. He is very good at not answering questions.
Right. He's just saying whatever he wants to say, and regardless of what question you ask.
Yes.
And that's exactly what he did right there. But, I mean, if you want to not be cynical about it and snide, you can also just look at what he knows. He doesn't know Drew Locke. He's never seen Drew Locke play a real football game other than on tape, maybe. He didn't see him in camp because he was hurt all of training camp. And Tommy DeVito played most of the preseason, as we all remember. And he has tape from him from last year. He did start 6 games a year ago.
And played reasonably well early on.
Right. He won 3 of them. And so there's a familiarity with the team and with what Dabes is trying to do. And so he's just more comfortable with him. This is the non-cynical side of it. The other side, which is the monetary side, is that Drew Locke has a bunch of incentives in his contract.
And do you think that played a role in this?
I have no idea, but I don't know how you can ignore it.
Yeah.
From percentage of playing time, I think it's upwards of 40, 50, 60, 70%.
Yeah, so his playing time incentives include, I guess it's $250,000.
For each of the following. 40%
yes.
playing time. Then if he goes to 50% playing time, it's another $250,000.
Yeah, it's $250,000 if he gets 40%, 50%, 60%, and 70% of snaps. He's got passing incentives
but
based
on the season, but that's not going to happen.
Right, right.
The 70 won't happen, but maybe the 40 or 50 could.
Well, the 40 definitely could, yeah. Then he's got passing incentives that could get him $250,000. Team incentives that are not happening that include playoff berths. So some of those things wouldn't happen. Some of those things could happen, and I guess they would play a small factor. I think the financial aspect that played the biggest factor was what benched Daniel Jones to begin with, which is, yeah, we don't want to risk the injury guarantee. But I think really what it comes down to, and no coach is going to say this, we'll say it on Sports Talk Radio, fans will say it at the stadium, is they're 2-8, they're going nowhere, why not evaluate the guy who has a chance to be here longer
right.
than the guy who's a free agent at the end of the season?
Even if he's just a backup.
Right. Even if that's the evaluation, even if the evaluation turns out to be, yeah, he's just our backup. One more shot at this before we get to your calls. Connor Hughes then asked the question, why didn't you give Tommy a real chance to be the backup quarterback to begin with?
If you're confident in Tommy now, why was he not given a realistic opportunity during the summer to be the backup quarterback or compete for the backup quarterback job? And now just 11 weeks later, it seems like he's going all the way up the depth chart.
Look, like I said, Tommy's been improving since he's been here. Again, have confidence in Drew as well. Just felt like this was the right move to make, Connor, with Tommy.
I think when he gets mad, he uses your name, by the way.
Definitely.
Yeah. Like, but Connor.
The answer is what I just told you.
Yes.
Right? It's just Tommy DeVito there's more, I don't say hope, but there's just more interesting to learn about. You're not going to learn anything about Drew Locke having him start. Now, I know he's still young and he could be the guy, but he's not going to be your guy.
No.
Going forward.
And if he is your guy, yeah, that's a problem.
Exactly right.
If he's your guy, you're screwed.
And it's the money thing. And it's the other thing that we talked about in the last segment, that if Tommy DeVito was your backup and Daniel Jones plays poorly, knowing the following that Tommy DeVito has, people are going to be screaming for Tommy DeVito.
That is true. There's one other aspect that Tiki brought up weeks ago. We'll get to it in a few minutes, but let's get back to your calls, or to your calls for the first time on this very busy Monday. Jets coming up later as well. Justin is in New Jersey. How are you, Justin?
Evan and Tiki, love you guys. Thanks for having me on.
Appreciate it.
I want to talk about how Daniel Jones' greatest moment was the first game he played against the Bucks. 4 touchdowns, 2 on the ground, 2 throwing. He unseated Eli as a starter. Yep. And then, ironically, the first time he ever gets benched, guess who the Giants are playing this
Tampa,
week?
Tampa.
It all comes full circle.
Yeah. And I think, though, it's fair that when you look back at that first game that he had against Tampa, a game that they won, a game in which Daniel Jones threw for 336 yards. Can you imagine doing that in your first NFL start and being a part of 4 touchdowns? There was promise for him. Like, there was, it wasn't just the playoff game against Minnesota. There was promise in that rookie season. He also threw four touchdown passes against the Lions that year and four touchdown passes against the Jets that year. Like, he had moments where you thought, this is our guy.
Yeah.
And that's why, to me, it is sad that it's over. Not because I still believe in Daniel Jones, not because I still want him to start, but because this was a six-year odyssey in which you thought you had your guy, and ultimately, this is the final nail that he's not your guy.
You know what the crazy thing is
about
that call? That call, the game that he was just talking about?
Yeah.
You know who called that game?
You?
Kenny Albert, Rondé Barber, and Tiki Barber.
Hey, it's Tiki Barber.
Really? That's right.
That was a Tiki Rondé production?
That was a Tiki Rondé production.
How about that?
And then I'm calling the game this weekend.
Wow, you are full circle.
Full circle.
Now, when Daniel Jones had that performance back in September of 2019, think about how long ago that was. Think about how long ago it was the Daniel Jones era really started. It's kind of depressing to think about.
Yeah.
Think about how different the world was. The Wilpons still own the Mets. Trump was in his first term. Like, think about who's coaching the Jets? Adam Gase. Oh, my God. Oh, like, that's a different world.
That was a very different world.
You're on Fox.
I know. Exactly.
Daniel Jones went through a pandemic.
That's true. Did you think Daniel was the guy that day?
I was excited for him, for sure. I was excited for Giant fans looking at, I mean, like I've said this many times over the years, he didn't get the name Danny Dimes for no reason. Mm. That did not follow him from Duke. He wasn't Danny Dimes down in North Carolina. He was Danny Dimes because of how amazing he was at moments. He did have his turnover issues with fumbles most specifically in his first year, but he became Danny Dimes because he would throw dimes, right? Big, you know, fearless throws that led to a lot of touchdowns, and he stopped doing it. And so we just got tired of him.
Yeah. Let's go to Alex in Staten Island. How are you, Alex?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call. Yeah, I mean, it's a little bittersweet having to lose, you know, the way we lost with Daniel Jones like that. And I was always one of the guys that, you know, that didn't necessarily make excuses for him, but I always felt bad with, you know, with the offensive line issues and, you know, no real receivers to have weapons as. But I think it's finally time to turn the page, and I think that, and I agree with you, Evan, the move to go to DeVito was basically to say, you know, our season is shot, and I think this is what we're going to do with DeVito, and I think what they're going to do is just to see if they evaluate him to see if maybe he is the backup quarterback moving forward.
Yeah.
Because I don't necessarily give him the, I don't necessarily think DeVito is the future. I think DeVito is pretty much going to work to see if he can be the backup moving forward. And just one last question. I think with how I think finally the Giants understand now what it is to tank, do you think that at any point we start to see any of these starters being pulled off the field and bring in some of the replacements?
Oh, thanks, boy. Guys. How do you do that, T?
I mean, that's really hard to do. I know it's easy to say it. Basketball, it's easier to do that because these guys are making guaranteed money and it's just whatever. I don't think you can do that in the NFL.
Well, you could also work around it by saying it's a maintenance stay or resting a guy. You can't do that in the NFL.
You can't. Yeah, exactly. You can do it in basketball. Yeah. You can't do it in the NFL. And too many of these guys, potentially, I don't know if this is specific, have incentives in their contract.
Right. You don't want to take money out of their pocket.
If you're taking money out of their pocket just so you can tank, trust me, that'll be an uproar. The PA will get involved if that's the case.
Yeah, it just doesn't happen. No. Like, tanking is for what we're rooting for when we're sitting on our couch or we're going to MetLife Stadium on a Sunday.
Something we talk about when it pertains to football, but it never actually happens.
Right, but and also with Tommy
Unless
DeVito.
You're the Philadelphia Eagles and Doug Peterson.
Right, and look what ended up happening.
Right.
He ended up getting fired. I know. Cost him his job, essentially. You brought this up a couple of weeks ago in relation to Tommy DeVito because the evolution of Tommy DeVito and wanting to go to him is different. So for Tommy Lugauer, he was screaming about this in August. He wanted him to be the starting quarterback right away.
Yep.
Then Sean Moore asked, I can't include you in this study because you're all over the place. I don't remember what you were doing. You were screaming, you were crying, you were upset.
I can tell you.
I can't keep track of you.
I said Daniel Jones deserved the right to start week one. But when he sucked, go to DeVito.
But when did you say, he sucks, I want to go to DeVito? That's my question. At what point in the season? Because I know when I turned and I know when Tiki turned. I can give you the exact date.
I could tell
you.
For
me, it was 2 weeks ago. I came on the air and said, Tommy, I'm finally with you. It's like the Wizard of Oz. Tiki turned last week after the most recent Giant game. He said, you know what? I'm done with him. He no longer gives him the best chance to win. So we all kind of came along at different paces.
Uh-huh.
When the hell did you come along?
I came along the Monday after week one, and then Tiki calmed me down and said, give him a month.
That's
and then I gave
true.
Him a month.
Oh,
and then he beat Seattle,
that's
and then
true.
I was back in.
So Tommy DeVito is the wizard. I'm Dorothy, right?
No. Tommy DeVito's Oz.
No, Oz is a geographical location.
No, it's not. The Wizard of Oz.
Yes,
the wizard.
Oz is the place. The wizard is the person.
Yeah,
yes.
The wizard. That's what I'm
Oz
saying.
Oz is the geographical location
that
we go to.
The wizard's name was Oz. We would call him Oz.
No,
like, what's up, Oz?
No, the city was Oz.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh.
You're the wizard of Oz.
Do you call Eric Adams NYC?
Sometimes.
What? He's stuck on the penguin. That's what it is.
Yeah.
Who's stuck on the penguin?
You.
I haven't even watched the penguin.
Oh, the guy's name is Oz.
Oh, is that true?
Yeah, Oswald.
Oh, I have nothing to do with that. No, I don't even know.
So is DeVito Oz or the wizard?
I think DeVito's the wizard, and we're all prancing down the yellow brick road. You are Dorothy, because you were the original.
Uh-huh.
I was who's the first? The Scarecrow was the one who joined Dorothy second. That's me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Then the third one is the Tin Man. That's Tiki. Yep.
Cowardly Lion is Sean.
And Cowardly Lion is Sean.
Because he didn't know what he wanted.
He had no idea what he wanted, because he had no courage. No courage of opinions.
What? Who was the first one on video screaming that I think we found our franchise quarterback? Was that Tommy?
That was you a year ago.
Okay.
Do we still have that audio from last year?
And who came in representing Tommy DeVito today? Was it me or was it Doofus Face over here?
No, you don't get credit.
You're putting on a sweatshirt.
That was an impressive little rant last year.
Yeah.
Not even rant, just like, I don't know.
Well, he believed in him last year. And by the way, I think that's going to be the other challenge that Giant fans face. So there are a lot of Giant fans who don't believe in Tommy DeVito. I understand that. You got a few like Loogie who says, hey, I think he's the answer. What does he have to do now over the next 7 weeks to have people say, that's not just the guy I want on my roster, that's the future, as Sean cried about into a camera when you
think this kid might be the answer.
That's what he said.
I think the biggest thing, to be honest with you, is something we're not going to see. Like, maybe we'll be privy to it through reports, but what kind of man in the locker room is he? What kind of leader does he become?
Good question.
Do these guys rally around him? I'll give you the perfect example because it was in the game I did last week. Anthony Richardson was benched 3 weeks ago. And when he came back, all the guys rallied around him when he got his starting job back. And like, he's not great at doing the processing and the passing and all those things, but he's quiet by demeanor, but his play is so loud. And so the guys rallied around him, and it showed, and they got a big win for them, a devastating loss for the Jets yesterday.
Yeah, thank you.
The question will be for Tommy, like, what's the rallying around him like?
Right. Like, for example, are guys in the locker room going to make T-shirts for him the way the Jets did for Mike Bleep and White?
Tommy!
Like, if he's having T-shirts made for him, then,
well,
you've made
it. It's the next media availability that I'm very interested in. Now, obviously, I'll be privy to more of this stuff as the week goes on because I'm calling the game this weekend.
Get you 2 weeks in a row, baby.
But it's not even that. It's just, like, I'm really interested to see what the reaction is.
Right.
Because if it's like, whatever, I don't know if Tommy's going to be successful.
That's a great question. That's a good question.
We love Tommy.
Right.
He's been a grind in here as the scout team quarterback. We love what he brings and, you know, we're excited for him, and we're going to rally around him. If you get that answer, then he has a chance not to be the starting quarterback in 2025 and 6 and 7 and 8 and everything else, but just to be successful. Right? I think you mentioned it, Evan, and you were right. It got undercut a little bit last year because the tau of Tommy became bigger than Tommy.
Mm.
Right? The cult of Tommy became massive. Not Tommy Lugauer, but Tommy DeVito.
Seat caucus.
It became. Like, the story.
Yeah.
More than the Giants.
Yeah.
It was the story. Tommy DeVito living with his mom and the whole thing with the hand and, you know, his agent. Like, all this stuff. It became the story more so than what he was doing for the Giants.
This does remind me.
It can't be that.
Well, it could be because this does remind me of Mike White. Mike White had two runs as Jet quarterback. Mm. We forget that. He had the initial run with the T-shirts and all that. Then he had the other run a couple of years ago. Right? And fans bought in both times.
Right.
So my assumption to you is if he plays well against Tampa and picks up where he left off in terms of before he started struggling and they win a game and he's throwing a couple of touchdown passes, I think the hoopla for DeVito is going to be the same. I do. He's a Jersey guy. He's a local guy. He's an Italian kid from this area. He'll pick up right where he left off.
The hoopla will be the same from the Jersey fans and really in New York, whoever fans of him. But I'm interested in him.
And how he handles it.
And how he handles
it. No, that's a great question.
Because the most important thing for a quarterback is the grind that you put yourself on.
Right.
Right. Getting there at 5:30 in the morning, staying late, going into Dave's office or whoever's office and asking questions and doing the extra film study and grinding so that you're fully over-prepared for the opportunity.
Right.
You don't get opportunities. They're never, like, perfect. I had a Cadillac commercial. I told you guys about this one where they were asking me about, you know, how I got the starting job when I was in college. And I was just talking about the opportunity. Like, and one of the things I said is that they're never perfect. It's never just perfectly clean cut as you expected it to be. But when it happens, you better be ready for it.
Got to take advantage of it.
Because it might not come again.
And I think for Tommy, this is it. He had one last 100%. Year. Now he's being given a second chance. He's got to take advantage of it.
More chance, Billy.
100%.
Let's go to Scott in Manhattan. How are we doing today,
yeah,
Scott?
Yeah, listen, I'm as a Giants fan, and for all of you trying to sell me this Tommy DeVito.
We're not trying to sell you on anything.
Listen, yeah, well, everybody's bigging him up like he's big. Listen, the next 7 weeks, listen, your best chance for us to win, you should have stayed with Daniel Jones, got rid of him at the
you
end,
really
whatever the case
that?
May be.
You really believe
yes,
that?
Yes, I really believe that, because the mere fact listen, you're making this guy DeVito like this. Like, what is he going to do in the next 7 weeks?
No, we don't know about
turn
Tommy
his
DeVito.
Team around?
But Scott, we don't know about Tommy DeVito.
But listen to what you're talking about him. You and your colleagues, the other ones earlier, too. The way you're talking about him, somebody just listened to you, you make you think
nah,
you're
nah,
going
nah,
to
nah, 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 nah. Scott, I think where you're lost here a little bit is that you are making the assumption that we're proclaiming that Tommy DeVito is going to be the second coming of Pat Mahomes.
The only guy who has said that is Loogie, and that's fine. Loogie has said, I think he could be my quarterback for the next 10 years. We haven't said that.
Right. This is more, to flip the cliche, the devil you don't know versus the devil you do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we know who Daniel Jones is. He's proven it to us over and over and over and over again. And, Scott, I love that your Giant fandom takes you to Daniel Jones gives us the best chance to win, but go watch the tape, man. He doesn't make the play. He holds on to the ball. If it's not perfectly clean, he won't throw it. He'll take a sack at inappropriate times. Hell, 2 weeks ago, he had 2 two-point conversions. The ball didn't leave his damn hand. That's unacceptable, right? If you're going for two, the ball has to leave your hand. I don't care if you do like Lamar Jackson did last night and just kind of flip it over your head trying to get it to Isaiah Likely, but you cannot take a sack on a 2-point conversion.
Okay, how about taking a sack with no timeouts and 10 seconds to go in a game down by one? How about that?
That's your guy. We'll get to him later.
But
my point is those 2 two-point conversions typified everything that I've said about Daniel Jones all season long. You guys remember the rant I went on like after week 3 or whatever it was? You have to make decisions. You have to trust that you're going to make the right decision and believe it and believe in the guy on the other side. Believe what you've been taught or believe what you see. And he just doesn't do it. And so he gets caught just doing nothing.
Yeah.
And so I don't know if Tommy DeVito is going to be exactly the same way. Hell, he might. But you know what? I don't know.
Well, that
with Daniel, I know.
That's the thing, Scott, you have to understand. Forget, no offense to Tommy, because I respect that you believe in the guy and you hope he's your quarterback. I think we all do. That's the minority opinion. Not many people. And credit to you, Tommy, because if DeVito puts it all together, you're ahead of the curve.
I've never wanted anything more in my sports fandom life than Tommy DeVito to be the Giants starting quarterback and be really good for the next 10 years.
No, I respect that. I think most Giant fans would want that too. They just don't believe it. Where I think most Giant fans are coming from is a place I've been in many, many times, which is your season's over. There's a guy on your roster, not really supposed to be great, but he's young enough and there's an unknown in him enough where you just want to see what you have. Bryce Petty, Greg McElroy, guys like that. For Giants fans, Davis Webb. Remember Davis Webb? No one's saying they're great. No one's telling you they're the second coming. What we're merely telling you is, hey, let's see him because you never know.
Mm-hmm.
Saying you want to see someone because you never know is far different than people talking about one as the second coming. So open up your ears, everybody. I don't think Tommy DeVito is what Loogie described. I don't think he's going to be the starting quarterback for the next 10 years. But when you're dead in a season, you want to find out. That's it.
Also, I'm not ready to proclaim him that either, but I'm going to run by you. There are a couple scenarios in NFL history where you did find out and it did work. Tony Romo was an undrafted free agent. Drew Bledsoe stunk. They developed a little bit.
You're buying in,
Sonny. Hold on. Just hear me out for a second. The Niners did spend a Mr. Irrelevant pick on Brock Purdy. I know Shanahan did a great job. Right. If not for the injury to Jimmy Garoppolo and Trey Lance stinking, we never find that out.
And he's about to get paid.
Yeah. Brock Purdy. And dare I say, there is no way Bill Belichick handed in a draft card for Tom Brady in the sixth round thinking he was going to be his quarterback for the next 20 years. Bledsoe got hurt, and he played well.
My only issue with you, and I don't have it with
Interesting
Loogie.
How Bledsoe led the two of them.
I know.
It's crazy, right? He's got such a connection. I don't have an issue with Loogie about this because when I lived the Mike White life, Tommy, believe it or not, was actually supportive. Like, hey, yeah, it's cool. Like, what a great story.
It was awesome.
Maybe he's the guy.
Yep.
But I feel like you know-whatted all over Jet fans that said the exact same eloquent little diatribe you did about Mike White. And now when it's your guy, I'm hopeful. You never know.
Halloween, when they beat the Bengals, I feared Mike White was going to be the Jet franchise quarterback for the next 15 years. So, by the way, do you know what to my theory? I'm probably wrong. All I am saying is for anybody to scream and yell, why would the Giants do this? I'm just telling you, Dak Prescott, by the way, another one, fourth round pick. You didn't know he was going to be starting a great preseason.
I get you.
Don't know until you know.
That's why he deserves to be the guy right now. No question about it. I'm with you.
Oh, my mirage.
Let's go to Sonny and Malvern. How you doing, son?
Hey, guys. Doing great. How are you guys doing?
Good. What's up?
Good. Listen, we all knew this was going to happen sooner or later, and I think most wanted it to happen sooner, but nobody has a problem with Daniel Jones being benched. But I don't understand the Giant fans calling up and saying it's a beautiful day. Listen, because the idea and the thought and the promise of Daniel Jones turning this around is over. And now we don't have a quarterback, okay?
Right.
So now, unless we get lucky in next year's draft, like I said, you know, when I called up last week, that's all it takes. But, you know, it has to happen. But if that doesn't happen, we'll be in quarterback, you know, hell for the next 5 years, guys. So, Giants fans, be careful what you wish for, because Tommy DeVito is not a franchise quarterback.
Yeah, but Sonny, what people are doing, and they do it all the time. They did it when Robert Saleh was fired, all right? They did it when Sam Darnold was traded, is they celebrate when someone who once had promise and then failed over and over again is finally gone. And what I caution people is kind of what you said, which is, yeah, it should have been over. I'm glad it's over. But now you need to find the answer.
Right.
Jet fans celebrated when Sam Darnold was gone because, oh, we got Zach Wilson. Then look what happened. Jet fans celebrated when Robert Saleh was gone, and then they fired him and got worse. Giant fans are celebrating that, all right, it's finally over. No more Daniel Jones. I understand why you're done with him, but now what? Like, you want to see, can Tommy DeVito be that guy? Probably not. Okay, am I going to draft the right guy next year? So I think too often we celebrate the end of guys, but we have to remind ourselves that's not really a happy day. It's more a sad day that the whole thing didn't work out.
Right. I agree with you. And Tommy DeVito could be terrible. He could be great. But we're going to find out in front of us. That's what's interesting. I'm just going back now and watching. He threw 8 touchdown passes last year.
Yeah.
8 in touchdowns, 3 interceptions.
Yeah.
And I'm just watching some of them. They're like, he gets through what he needs to do. He's decisive with the decisions he makes. Now, 3 of them came against the Commanders, who were, I mean, they were bad last year. But he's going to do what he's told to do or asked to do. I mean, not told. And make the right decisions. Now, is he going to work out all the time? Probably not. But who knows?
And he may not be scared to pull the trigger on some of these balls. Again, I say this. We've screamed and yelled about Jalen Hyatt being a wasted draft pick. He has 100-yard receiving game in his career. DeVito was the quarterback.
Right.
This guy's going to be committed to him being a franchise quarterback within 2 weeks, Teague.
Especially once I said it.
No. Sean, I'm not talking about you, Teague. You're very even-keeled. I'm being sensible
about it.
No, you're not going
to
be sensible.
No, I'm being open-minded to, at worst, I don't want to spend another $5 to $12 million on a backup quarterback. Let him develop.
Do you think?
At best, he takes off, wins out during the playoffs at 9-8, and, you know.
Do you think at some point you're going to make a video crying again about him being the answer? Like, can you see that be happening again?
There is a situation. Okay, if they
Thanksgiving against the Cowboys?
Yeah, well, but it's not just Thanksgiving with the Cowboys. If they beat the Bucs and he looks good, then on a national stage and they finally beat the Cowboys and it's an emotional day.
You will declare him franchise quarterback with Tommy and you'll cry.
I will. I'm saying I have no self-respect nor self-control.
See, he's admitting it.
That there is a chance Thanksgiving night with pudding pie all over my face that I make a video. Yes.
Yeah. That's definitely happening. Right. I'm glad that you're admitting it's only going to take 2 weeks. Tiki's even keeled. Tommy DeVito could go 7-0, throw 18 touchdowns and 2 interceptions, and you'll come in here and say, eh, he's got to compete for the job. Don't worry. Let's take
it easy. Tiki is sensible. Yeah. I'm not.
No, I understand. I understand. Let's go to Jimmy in Sag Harbor. What's up, Jimmy?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Wonderful.
What's up?
I just want to touch on a couple of things, if that's okay. Number one, I was always kind of leery about Daniel Jones, even after the first year. You know, he had wonderful stats if you simply look at 24 touchdowns and 12 interceptions, which for a rookie quarterback is quite good.
Right.
But one of the interesting stats at the end of that year was on interceptable balls, which is kind of fascinating.
Yeah.
The leader in interceptable balls was Jameis Winston, who had 30.
Right.
And he had 30 interceptions.
Right. And he thought
second
he was
on the list.
Right. He thought he was going to get paid that season, by the way.
Second on the list was Daniel Jones with 29 interceptable balls, of which only 12 were intercepted, meaning 17 times defensive backs dropped balls they should have by all rights intercepted.
Right.
So and you look also, at what if you look at it realistically.
That doesn't count the fumbles, yeah. Jimmy.
Right. So if you look at it like if you only give him half of those that should have been intercepted, you're looking at a season that was 24 touchdowns, 22 interceptions, 18 fumbles. That's pretty different than 24 and 12.
It's a good point because it's a ton of turnovers.
Yeah, no doubt. Way too many turnovers.
And then my second point is, having just gone through a campaign season where everybody talks in sound bites and nobody answers questions,
yeah.
I am so frustrated at Brian Daboll's press conferences. You guys are sort of congratulating him for being good at it.
Yeah. Well,
I'm so sick of it.
Yeah, but Jimmy, that's just who he is. I mean, he learned from Saban and he learned from Bill Belichick. He's never going to be any different.
Well, but our last caller is sick of it because they're 2-8.
Yeah.
That's the bottom line.
Right.
Like, they're 2-8. The only thing that's going to make you feel better is not him giving you more direct answers, not him being better in his media sessions. The only thing that's going to make you feel better is a better record.
And by the way, that's the only thing that matters.
Of course.
Ultimately, it doesn't matter. Like, if you have the worst coach in NFL history and he's awesome at the mic, he's still not going to. He's going to be the worst coach in NFL history.
Well, and I'll tell you something else. Besides that,
he's not going to keep the job. The only thing that keeps your job is winning.
The only thing that keeps your job is winning. And sometimes when you're honest, it causes you to lose your job. And if Brian Daboll maybe studied his predecessor a tad, he would know that honesty killed him. Joe Judge was sitting there trying to blame other people. You want to know why? Because he was being honest.
Yeah.
He was trying to be honest. You may not agree with him. And that ultimately is what cost him his job. So I get why it's frustrating. I sit here all the time watching post-game interviews of coaches on my team or coaches from other teams. And, of course, you want the brutal honesty. But Brian Daboll's not going to sit there and say, yeah, we suck. We're 2-8. Let's see what we got with this schlub. I mean, he's not going to say that.
No.
So I get why it's frustrating. But at the end of the day, you need to see promise. You need to see potential. You need to see growth. And that's why the final seven games is it's more exciting than it was 2 days ago, but it's also awkward. You want Tommy DeVito to play well, sure, but him playing well means what? You believe he's the starter next year? You believe he's competing for a job? You believe he's a backup? Also, if you lose every game, are you going to lose faith in the head coach and say, I don't want to run it back with Brian Daboll? Like, there's a lot of weird things about these final seven games that are going to cause you to think differently about this team.
I agreed.
I need to see promise as a fan.
And you need to win some.
Yeah,
as much as you don't want that, you do need to win some.
Right. Well, he may have to.
Because otherwise, you start to lose faith in the coach.
Yeah. I'll make you this prediction. And I made your prediction a few weeks ago that I didn't even pull the audio of because I know you guys will trust me when I said, we'll never see Drew Lock. They will skip Drew Lock and go to Tommy DeVito. And I think, Sean, your word to me was, I think you're wrong, Evan, but I hope you're right.
That was exactly my quote.
Well, I was right. You're welcome.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
Yeah, it's definitely because of you.
Well, no, it's not because of me. I'm just saying you should have trusted me. You know, usually you just think I'm an idiot. I'm a bloviating, redheaded freak. But sometimes this IFO knows what he's talking about. I'm going to give you one more IFO opinion. And I hope for your sake this doesn't happen. If the New York Giants lose their final seven games and finish 2-15, which would basically secure the number one overall pick, if that happens, you're looking for a new head coach. He's not surviving 2-15. That's my prediction.
I can't argue that.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I'm saying. So as much as you sit there and say, I prefer to lose, and I get it, it's dangerous, as Tiki's always pointed out. I do not believe this head coach can survive 2-15.
I don't either, which is why I think Thanksgiving, bad Cowboy team in shambles, national TV, Tommy Cutlets, that whole thing. I think it's such an important game. We should also be on the air before Giants pregame on Thanksgiving.
I think you're right. I think we should work Thanksgiving. I'm going to call my wife during the next commercial break and basically demand that.
Yep.
And say, baby, we're coming in for Thanksgiving. How long is the show?
It'll be like a half hour, 40 minutes, and I want to make a vow to the audience.
That's not bad.
No, we can do that.
If we are doing the show, I don't care if Juan Soto signs at noon. You're going to hear nothing but Giant talk, okay?
I can't agree to that.
Why not? Mm-hmm.
If Juan Soto signs at noon, no offense to Giants Cowboys. We're talking about Juan Soto.
There's no way he would do that.
On Thanksgiving?
Boris wouldn't allow him to do that.
You can't see him popping up at the Thanksgiving Day parade?
No.
With a microphone and saying, I have an announcement.
He'll be on the float with Mariah Carey.
Right. He just announces.
People would hate him unless he signed with one of the locals.
Well, that you only do in the Thanksgiving Day parade if you're signing with the Mets or the Yankees. You can't be at that parade saying, I'm going to Toronto.
I don't know.
Imagine that.
LeBron did it up in Connecticut and went to Miami. So what the hell are you talking about?
That was a big mistake by LeBron, and he knows it.
Well, I mean, I guess.
Soto knows better. Trust me on that. All right, we'll do it. We'll do a Thanksgiving show.
Done.
We'll get to your calls coming up, 888-808-1019. And how did the New York Jets manage to pull off what they pulled off yesterday? How does a team basically not commit any freaking penalties, not turn the ball over, score 25 points, and manage to lose? We go through how the New York Jets hit a brand new rock bottom at MetLife Stadium. Plus, more reaction to the decision to go to Tommy DeVito. Joe B. will join us coming up at 4:30.
Thank God for drugs.
It's Evan and Tiki here on The Fan.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.